This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. With me, WNYC contributors Joan Osair with The New York Times and Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine. And it's July the 4th, the birthday of the United States, and a time to celebrate the country's achievements and the ingenuity and entrepreneurial spirit of its citizens. And with that in mind, I thought we'd take this opportunity to talk about innovation, about the ideas, services, products that have really fueled our country's economic growth. But in this case, we're going to look ahead to what's coming down the pike in the next few months or maybe even years. What could be some of the most interesting developments, real game changers that might even get our economy really growing again? So, Rana, is there something that you're paying really close attention to?
Yeah, there's two big areas I've been thinking a lot about. The first is the Internet of Things, what some people call the industrial internet. And this is coming up in so many stories that I've been reporting. I was out at GE a few months ago at a factory where they make batteries, and they actually now put over 1,000 sensors in these batteries. So while they're being used, the company can get real-time information about everything from how they perform in certain temperature conditions to what happens if you rattle them too much. And the thing is, you can extrapolate this to almost every product. GE is going to put these sensors in the turbine engines it builds for airplanes. Any other number of manufacturing companies, automotive companies, consumer good companies are going to be putting sensors in products. And this will enable two things. First, it will enable them to make real-time adjustments to those products in the design process. That means if there's something wrong with your watch and a sensor picks it up, an engineer could reconfigure that and within literally days, weeks, have a new product out on the market. The other thing that's going to happen is it's going to change the nature of manufacturing companies. It's going to turn them into service companies as well, because they'll be able to serve all of the customers with these products in a new way. So that could actually be a real knock-on for economic growth.
It's funny that you mentioned batteries, because that's something I've been really kind of interested in. Like, we are so obsessed now, or we have so many things that are run on different types of batteries, in particular the lithium-ion battery, but it can only keep a charge for a certain amount of time. It begins to lose its power after a while. And there's this big push to try and find, like, what is the next battery that can keep our cell phones charged for longer so we don't have to run around and find places to plug it in, or what could keep our computers going longer.
Yeah.
And so this is a really big issue. You have companies like Tesla, which have the electric vehicle that's really the ultimate car that's out there for a lot of people. But they are limited on how much power they can have, how far they can go, how fast they can charge because of this battery issue. And to me, that sort of feels like not necessarily very sexy. It's not Silicon Valley chic, but there's something about that if that gets solved, that'll really change a lot of how things work.
The thing about batteries is, Charlie, that it's what they call in engineering a really hard problem, in the sense that there are almost no kind of intuitive great leaps forward, and it's just a grinded out innovation where, you know, 10% this year, 15% next year, and that's really the way battery technology has been developing.
It's a huge international competition, too. You know, the Chinese are throwing tons of money into green battery development. So are the Germans, the Danes. It's going to be interesting to see who wins.
We're just so power hungry. Joe, Joe, what are you paying attention to?
One of the ones that's really high on my list is, as I believe that over the next, you know, 5 to 10 years, the whole experience of college is going to change. Not at the elite institutions, but at many, many other institutions, there's going to be a lot more adaptation to people who work. It's going to change so that the middle class can come back to college. And I think that this has a potential to be profoundly good for the United States. I also believe Jeff Bezos when he says that Amazon is eventually going to be delivered, be able to deliver packages with drones, and I'm really looking forward to that.
You know, one of the things that's interesting to me about Amazon is that it brings up the issue of what kind of innovation is good innovation. I mean, you know, all of us who work in media, some of us who are writing books and have written books, are concerned about the way in which Amazon is eroding that industry. On the other hand, do I love one-click shoe shopping? Absolutely. It's an interesting question.
Well, I think what you're sort of raising there is this concept of disruption, that, you know, there's going to be a disruption of the way you get packages delivered to you, a disruption of the way we heat our home, or maybe even a disruption of the way we're going to eat in the future. But that word itself, I guess you could say, is maybe getting a little bit disrupted. It's been getting a lot of attention, and how it relates to innovation. A recent story that was in The New Yorker by Harvard professor Jill Lepore was really critical of another Harvard professor who came up with this term. So what do we make of this debate over what the role of innovation really is? And is it disruptive?
Oh, gosh. You know, I first of all, both words are totally overused. You know, I mean, every conference that one goes to these days has something about innovation in it. You know, I think that Jill Lepore is right in the piece that she wrote that innovation is really just a new word for change. Change sometimes is good, sometimes it's bad, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
We should say something on behalf of Clayton Christensen, who is the Harvard professor that Jill Lepore attacked, for lack of a better word. She pointed out that many of the examples of disruption that he used in his book turned out not to be all that disruptive or didn't work all that well, and she may well be right about that. But his core theory, which is that new technology erodes older technology and disrupts it, is absolutely right.
Well, let's bring the focus back to the next couple of weeks and some of the stories that we're looking ahead to. Rana, what are you paying attention to?
So I'm paying attention to Argentina. Over a decade ago, Argentina defaulted on its debt. It was a major event, big global implications. And since then, the creditors have been fighting over who gets paid. Early on, Argentina agreed to give very small settlements to some creditors. Some of them, big hedge funds and banks, took them. Others did not. Recently, the U.S. courts ruled that Argentina has to pay back those creditors. But Argentina is saying, what do we care about the U.S. courts? In fact, we're going to, just to spite you, we're going to pay the original creditors, but we're not going to give those who waited and hoped for more money their cash. Everybody is watching how this case is going to end up. I suspect it's going to take years of more litigation until it's really resolved, but it will have implications for how countries can go bankrupt, who gets paid, and how sovereign debt works.
Joe, what are you paying attention to?
I'm paying attention to Ford Motor Company. This past week marked Alan Mulally's last week as CEO. He is the man really responsible for bringing Ford back, for changing its culture, and for making it, a profitable, well-run company. His successor is an inside guy, Mark Fields. So we're going to see whether Ford stays on this good new path or whether it lapses back.
Well, we'll be watching all those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org. Don't forget, you can take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine and Joe Nocera with The New York Times, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.